I'm Jackie from Cape Town in South Africa.
Andre from Brisbane.
I'm Ben Wale from Botswana.
Jim Panton from Edinburgh in Scotland.
I'm Lisa Bracknell from Christchurch, New Zealand.
Nick Kidinji from Nairobi, Kenya.
I'm Viggy from Tel Aviv in Israel.
I'm Andy from Vancouver, Canada.
This is Harish from Bangalore in India.
I'm Brigitte Seipestein from Vrucht, the Netherlands.
I'm Dougie Nisbet from Durham in the UK. And you're listening to Run with Coach Parry.
Welcome back onto this edition of Run with Coach Parry. My name is Brad Brown, and it's great to have you on board with us once again. And we get to share another pretty cool story on today's podcast. Someone who is a member of the Coach Parry Online Training Club, and his name might ring a bell. We're catching up with Chris Binnowan, and if you're wondering why it does ring a bell, you would have heard his name on the podcast just a few weeks ago. We spoke about him and some of the success that he's had. He posted a very, very cool post in our forum about how he had struggled to break 4 hours for a marathon, was following another training program in the build-up to the Brighton Marathon last year, and came very, very close, but had always struggled with niggles and the odd injury heading up to races, and decided that he was going to buy one of our 12-week training programs, the marathon training program, and follow it for the Cape Town Marathon last year, which he did to a T. And for the first time, he said, in forever, arrived on race day, injury-free and feeling fresh and good. And he ended up running a sub-4-hour marathon 2 weeks before his 58th birthday, which is an amazing story. And we're going to chat to Chris a little bit more about that and also some of his other goals. Lindsay joins us on today's podcast too. And just a reminder that this episode of the podcast is brought to you by Biogen. If you'd like to win 3 months access to the Coach Parry Online Training Club, all you need to do is head over or use the hashtag, rather, use the hashtag Biogen Journey. Tell us what you're training for, what you need help with, and we could be making you a winner. Today's winner comes off Instagram, and we'll announce that at the end of today's show. So if you've used that hashtag and you think you may be a winner, stay tuned. It's coming up. A very, very cool winner as well on today's podcast. Before we get into our chat with Lindsay and Chris, just a heads up that the next 2019 Comrades Bonitas Online Success Seminar is coming up on the 25th of March. It's happening at 8 p.m. South African time, so it doesn't matter where you are in the world. That's GMT plus 2, so if you're in the States, it's earlier on in the day. If you're in Oz, it's early morning the following day, the Tuesday the 26th. And if you're in the UK or Europe, pretty much around the same time. Okay, that's Monday the 25th. You don't want to miss this one. If you are concerned about your nutrition strategy at Comrades, this is one not to miss, because we're going to be talking about what you can do now, between now and race day, to prepare yourself from a nutrition point of view for the challenges of Comrades, but then also talking about race day nutrition and how to handle your nutrition on race day. So make sure you join us. If you'd like to find out more, it's absolutely free. All you need to do is register coachparry.com/webinar. That is the URL to get to coachparry.com/webinar. Register Monday the 25th of March. We're looking forward to seeing you live. The last one was incredible. If you haven't watched the replay to that, it is on our website as well. Lots of great insight there. And Lindsay and I love doing them. And it is the next one in the series in the build-up to Comrades 2019. Enough of me yakking. Let's head straight into our chat with the coach and Chris Binnowan. Well, we head to KZN now, and it is literally on the Comrades Marathon routes, and a great pleasure to welcome Chris Binnowan onto the podcast, who's in Kloof. Chris, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Chris, it's great to have you on, and before we get into our chat, a couple of weeks ago, read a post of yours on our podcast that you posted in our forum about your sort of experience with what we do here at Coach Parry, and I got serious goosebumps when I read it, because the story is so, so cool. You purchased a 12-week program from us in 2018, essentially, and it was sitting on the drawer. You were training for another marathon, and you'd been working hard to get sub-4, and you just kept missing it, and then you pulled out that 12-week program that you bought for the Cape Town Marathon, followed it to the T. It was quite different to what you were doing. Tell us a little bit about the sort of build-up to Brighton Marathon and your prior running and the sort of stuff that you were doing before you picked up the 12-week program from us.
I was using a program from the official Two Oceans coach, which I picked up many years ago when I started running the 21K, the Two Oceans 21. I used the program then. And then when I went on to Comrades and Two Oceans, the 56, I started using the other programs in that suite. I just found them pretty challenging. They were 5 days a week, and there was some weeks there would be three sets of interval training combined with fairly long runs. And I found that the time was a problem. 5 days a week is quite tough. And as I'm getting older, I'm finding it more difficult to do that extra work. So I was looking for something for a four-day program. And that program popped up and I thought, well, let me give it a bash. And as I said to you in my post, that if I take something on, then I take it on full time. And that's it. Yeah. So, and it worked very well for me. It really worked well for me. It was the first time that I ever arrived at a race without a little niggle somewhere. It was just amazing. It was really amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that's something we talk about often is arriving maybe slightly underdone, but in physically in good nick, where you aren't, as you say, battling with a niggle, and that makes such a big difference. But tell me a little bit about your running history. Have you always been a runner throughout your life, or how did it start?
I've always been a runner throughout my life. I started when I was training for under 15 rugby. I was running 5Ks, and I ran 5Ks until I was 50. And my son was at school and he said to me, Dad, I'm going to run a 21. I said, which one are you doing? He said, no, two oceans. I said, okay, great. He went off and did it. And he said to me, Dad, next year, why don't you do it with me? And I've always wanted to do a 21. So I thought, okay, I'll do it. And I did that one. And the following year, I did another one. And then it just started from there. Cause then he said, no, you're going to do comrades. I said, Dad, I'm not doing comrades. I never wanted to do comrades in my life. Why would I want to do it now? So I thought about it and I thought, yes. Great, I'll do it. So then that year, I did my first marathon, Pietermaritzburg. I did my first two oceans. I did my first comrades. And I did my first Amashorga. So I had quite a year.
I love it. I'm going to ask you a weird question now, because we have this argument often with cyclists, where cyclists, you'll tell a cyclist you've run, and for people who don't know, just to give some background here, Amashorga is an annual cycle race here in South Africa that actually is the comrades route, essentially. And we have, Lindsay and I always laugh, because we have this argument with cyclists where we'll say we've run comrades and they go, well, I've done the Amashorga. Let's clear it up. You've done both. Which one's harder?
Comrades by far.
There we go. We have it officially. Yeah.
There's comparison.
No, exactly. Chris, I find it amazing. You might be one of the first South Africans we've ever spoken to that at some stage said, I never want to run comrades. Although you've been sucked in now. That's quite weird. I don't think I've ever spoken to a South African who didn't want to run comrades.
Yeah, I know. It's true. And especially since I was a runner, but I just decided I didn't ever want to do it. Having done two of them, I'm so keen.
Yeah, and like Lindsay says, you lived on the route practically. So I mean, it's amazing. I'm flabbergasted, to be honest.
I used to watch it every year, but I just didn't have any interest in running it.
Maybe it's because you saw the pain and suffering firsthand that you...
That's probably what they're about.
I love that. All right, cool. I'm going to hand you over to Lindsay. I love your sort of background and that post. Like I said, I got goosebumps reading it. It was amazing. And I'll pop it in the show notes as well. If you missed it a couple of weeks ago, it was the podcast that we chatted to Trevor Smith that I read it on. But Lindsay, you've got Chris's sort of like training background, a little questionnaire that you send out with your one-on-one coaching stuff. Just your initial thoughts on what Chris has done and where he is right now.
Yeah, look, it's pretty cool that... you know, Chris found running again after high school. He did list one of his PBs from when he was a youngster and was a pretty useful runner. And I think that's actually, it's important in the scheme of things, because you were more than good. I mean, you were pretty swift when you were a youngster. And that's probably what's allowing you to, although you're getting a little older, it's what's allowing you to still run pretty decently now. I mean, you've got a fairly good natural ability to run. So, yeah, I mean, I think you, I mean, the listeners obviously can't hear or they don't know what your goals are, but your questions will touch on those just now anyway. You want to improve on that sub-4 that you ran at Cape Town Marathon in Brighton. You want to run under 11 hours for comrades, and I certainly feel like that's absolutely doable. And you've made a pretty good change. Look, there are different ways of achieving goals, and I don't really want to knock the way other coaches do it. But certainly as you get older, you need to space out your intensity sessions if you're going to do any out further. So, you know, the weeks where you've got three would, I mean, I think that's why in your little history that you sent me, you did spend a lot of time getting injured leading into the races you were training for. And that's probably also why you were one of the major reasons why you weren't achieving that sub four. So the program now obviously is a much better balance for you. The one that you're following 4 days a week gives you adequate time to recover. You've had a pretty positive marathon. And I think, as I discussed with you in the forum, adding a little bit of intensity in there, you know, once a week, I think it will provide some positive impetus, but you do need to, we don't want you to get hurt and injured. So you just want to monitor that. And if you can feel, hang on, this is pushing me over, I'm too tired, or I'm not, then we pull back again. Because the other thing that's going to lead to major improvement is consistency. And yes, you don't have 5 or 6 years to keep running faster. But now that you're clearly training on something that is working for you, you should have a year or two still in you where you can improve before age really does start to force you to slow down. But by training correctly, you can slow that process down so that the slowing down isn't quite as marked, and it's rather just, you know, little by little by little. And, you know, and the way my dad gets around that, just to give you something to stay motivated for in the future, is that my dad doesn't worry about PBs anymore. You know, he's 69, so he works towards season's bests. So he starts running at the start of the year, and he'll, after a break, he'll run a whatever the time is for the time trial or for his first 21. And then for the rest of the year, he'll be chasing just improving that. And as he gets fitter and stronger, he will then run, he'll chase season's best rather than chasing personal best. And then my last comment before I hand over to you to ask the questions is that, look, absolutely, I believe that now that you are training much better for you, and you're responding so well to that training, that you absolutely do have the ability to run under 11 hours for comrades.
Because I've never done an upright, it's quite daunting, because I'm, you know, living on the route, I know what's involved, and having run down, I know that I've got to run back up that thing.
Yes.
The fact that I haven't achieved the times that I wanted on a down run is also sticking in my head. So that's a bit of an issue for me, as well as the fact that my family are saying to me that I'm mad, because then I'm going to be in my 60th year, and they say, well, why would you want to do that in the 60th year? And I'll say, well, I really want to do an uprun, and once I've done the uprun, then I'll be satisfied that I've achieved what I want to achieve.
Yeah. Look, I'm extremely confident that you'll finish the uprun, not least of all because I just feel like you'll have much better tools to do it. And it, I mean, if this year was a down run, I really feel confident that you would run under 11 hours. Now, even more than on the down run, the real trick for you is going to be getting past your house.
Yes.
Kind of fresh. I mean, it's that's the part of the route where you're just going to have to be patient. You know, from your speed says that you are fast enough to run under 10 hours for comrades. Yeah. Okay. But I also know, again, having lots of experiences with coaching older runners and my dad in particular, that as it goes longer, then there is a drop off. So it would be unrealistic to set out on a 10-hour plan. And I also know, and that I understand why it's daunting, is that again, as my dad gets older, he can still maintain pretty good pace on flats and downs, but the biggest loss is on the up. So I totally understand why that is daunting. However, having said that, based on your running ability, you can do a hell of a lot of walking in that first 36 Ks and still be fine to get under 11 hours, because the trick for you is to get over in Changa and then be able to run most of the way to Pietermaritzburg. And by doing lots of walking, you will enable yourself to do that. And then your natural speed will kick in, and you'll be amazed how many, I mean, you, you could conceivably run most of the second half at close to bull run. You wouldn't be that fast, but you'd probably be around 6:15, 6:20. And by doing that, you should be able to get home between 10:30 and 10:50 on the day.
Yeah. The other thing that's always been a problem for me is cramp. Okay. Often cramp in marathon distances, I don't get it during the race. I get it afterwards. So 15, 20 minutes afterwards, I cramp in every single muscle you can think about. And over the years, I've actually used my body as a scientific experiment because I've actually said, okay, what am I not doing? So then I fill up on the liquids and that didn't work. So then I would say, okay, now I need to put the electrolytes back. So then I put the electrolytes in. Then I thought to myself, well, maybe I need to eat something on the way. So then I put that in as well. Eventually I got to a point now where I don't cramp at all. Whereas in my 2016 comrades, I cramped from tollgate to the finish and I walked just about the whole distance. So from being on time for an under 11, I ended up at 11:31.
Yeah.
So cramp has always been an issue for me. And I think that was also something that held me back because in the back of my mind, I've always got it that I can't run too fast because if I get to the end and I start cramping, then I've got a problem.
Look, and for marathon and for ultra marathon, that's actually although it's not nice running in fear, that conservative approach is actually quite good, to be honest. So I wouldn't change that. But in comrades in particular, that's, just another reason why quite a lot of walking early on I think is going to save you a lot of walking late on. I mean, I'm glad you've solved that cramping issue. I'm fairly similar to you. I very seldom cramp in races, but afterwards, you know, I can – sometimes be seen in the corner, not sure if it looks like I'm breakdancing or flapping around like a seal, but I can't lie down because then my back cramps. I can't sit because my hip flexors cramp. I can't stand because my hamstrings cramp. So it doesn't last too long, which is why I haven't been too concerned about it. And you know, it's not
in my one lasts for a long time. I remember I did the Peninsula in 2016 and I think I got a 4:04 and I finished and I was fine. And then I decided I'd go down to the water to put my legs in some ice water and I cramped for about half an hour.
So you know, it's not quite the same. And of course you in your questions that you asked me, you talk about how difficult it is for you to get started after a marathon. And look, in the marathons where that happened to you, I would say those cramps essentially add an extra 2 to 3 days onto the recovery, because those cramps, the muscles actually work harder, although it's involuntary, they're working harder than the hardest you can think of working in a gym. And that is then why you get so incredibly sore after those marathons. And then you doing the right thing essentially to answer one of your questions that you said, like how long should you rest after these marathons? And I'd say after a hard where you've raced marathon, you shouldn't even think of running in the first 3 days, probably the first week. But again, because it's what you've been training for, I always say that, you know, it's like, think about your job. Everybody needs that holiday to freshen their minds up. And this is the same. Your body and your mind needs that holiday. So you've put in all that effort. You've said yourself, you commit completely to this thing.
Yeah.
So at the end of that process, I would say 2 weeks is exactly what you need. And then the third week, a very gradual build up. And then you purr along and get onto a consistent sort of level until you've locked on your next target. And then we increase the training again.
Yeah. One of the things that I mentioned is that I'll do that sort of maintenance between races, between the training programs. And then in the first 2 weeks of the training program, I find it really, really difficult. I get tired and sore, and but I think it's the body adapting. I don't know what it is.
It's a little bit of that. But what I would do is keep that maintenance going and then give yourself 2 weeks before the program starts to just inch up. So you want to almost get in the first week, 25% closer to the program. In the second week, 50% closer to the program. And then you go on the program. And that will also just help to so that the that program isn't like then such a big jump and shock to your system.
Yeah. That's great. Thank you.
Cool. You had quite a few more questions. What do you – let's go through this. And,
Okay. I don't have them in front of me. Hold on.
Okay, so this is actually a good one because it'll, you know, it's not going to help you right now, but it'll help you make a better choices last time. So I'm just going to read it. You said you're a little concerned about the training for Manchester because everything was going well until Saturday, where you had to do a 2:45 and you decided to run from Kloof to the Sun Coast. Now, for people who don't know Durban very well, but have run Comrades, that's basically all the downhill of the down run, all in the 28Ks. So it's a ton of down. It was very humid, and you ran down Fields Hill, essentially not on the highway, but just on the side, over Cowies, then all that down through Westfall, down to the beach. So your legs were extremely sore on Sunday, which is absolutely no surprise to me. They were more painful than after running a down Comrades, and that was probably because, although it was an easy run, the intensity was still quite a bit, or you would have gone down there quite a bit faster than you would on Comrades race day. Okay, so then you've spoken about the training you did through the week and that a lot of it was actually in pain because you sore. So for me, that effort that you did because of the stiffness that it caused means that you essentially did a race. So you should have treated this week very much the same as you would have treated a race. And I would have gone for 3 days without running. If you've got a stationary bike at home or access to the gym, then fine. I would have done 20 to 30 minutes of spinning on those days, and that would have helped the recovery along a little bit. And it probably would have meant that by Thursday, you would have felt fine, but I would have skipped the intervals and run easy. And then by the weekend, you probably would be fine to do your long run. So now I kind of feel like what next and going forward. It's Friday and you kind of just want to get a sense of how much better you are feeling.
Yeah.
And exactly how tired you are, and you may need to adjust that training run, to be honest, on Saturday. And if you really are still extremely tired, I'd maybe look at doing 2 hours rather than 3 hours. But you and the pace that you're running them at is pretty consistent. You're running those at 5:45. And I just want to do some maths quickly, but that does sound, right. So actually absolutely fine. And you can go all the way to sort of 6:05, 6:10, 6:20. You can actually go all the way to around about 6:20. So that's actually what I'd consider doing this weekend is, if you can get in the 3 hour run, that'll be quite useful in terms of the marathon you're training for. And so I would look at running it. If you normally run at 5:45, I think between 5:55 and 6 means that you should get that 3 hour in quite comfortably. And then next week be sort of back on track and feeling good.
Yeah, I know. Today I'm feeling a lot better. My legs are better and I'm not feeling so tired. So I think I'll be okay tomorrow, but I'll judge it and just judge the pace, I think.
Yeah, that's it. Aim for the 3 hours, adjusting the pace slightly, but if you do feel truly awful, then just cut that down too. Yeah. And then the last question, and we've got a couple of minutes, so let's quickly get through that, is that do I have any insight into the profile of the race? Profile on the website seems to have a steep but short hill at halfway, and the beginning has a long pool, but I can't tell the gradient. Can you advise on a pacing plan? So is it a point to point race, or is it a circular race? Do you make that up with a nice down at the finish, or
it's a circular race? So it goes out around the area and then comes back, and it more or less ends where it starts.
Okay, cool. All right. So look, then, bearing that in mind, I would use, I don't know exactly how long that pull is, but certainly use the first five or six of that almost as part of your warm up. So don't worry too much about pace. Run it nice and easy for the first 5 kilometers. Then you'll have a pretty good idea of what that pull is, you know. And if it's what I suspect from overseas races that I've run, it'll actually feel more like a flat road. So you'll be able to groove pretty close into the pace that you are planning on running for the whole race.
Yeah.
That short hill at halfway, I'd basically try and get it over it with as little damage as possible. So that may mean just taking a short little walk halfway up it, not pushing myself too much, then using the little short down that you'll get after that to get back a little, but not all of the time that you lost. Essentially maintain a fairly conservative, pretty close to or just under your target pace till about 30 to 32. And then hopefully you'll have a similar experience to what you had at Brighton. You'll be able to finish strong, plus you'll have that slight downhill gradient, which will then allow you to claw back the rest of the time that you've lost through the more conservative bits and nail that 3:55.
Yeah, great.
Cool. Chris, it's been great catching up. Thoroughly enjoyed that. And best of luck. We're going to be following your progress, and we'll obviously touch base in the forums. Just on what we're doing over at Coach Parry, you obviously been a member for a while, buying that program. Your thoughts on what we're doing? Tell me a little bit about your experience.
I think it's great. I think the advice that you guys give is fantastic. I listened to a podcast the other day, and it really was exactly what I was hoping to get out of it. I got out of it. So it's very, you know, all these interviews that you do is very, very good, and it's very helpful. As long as you take on board whatever you've been told, I think you can find success. A lot of people ignore what they've been told, and they don't get success. So, you know, it's up to you to make the program work for you.
Absolutely. And isn't that the case in every aspect of life? It doesn't matter. Exactly. Chris, we love having you in there. Thank you so much for being part of the community. And yeah, best of luck. We look forward to catching up again in the forums.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, Brad. Thanks.
Ooh, awesome. Coach. Good luck, Chris. Enjoy it.
Okay.
And that's a wrap for this edition of Run. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to the coach and to Chris as well. Chris, best of luck on your endeavors. And I mentioned at the top of the podcast too that it is brought to you by Biogen. We're following James Hobbo Hobson's journey to Ironman 70.3 in Durbs in June. And he's making unbelievable strides in his training. I think he's going to smash it. But we want to help you on your Biogen journey. All you need to do is let us know what you're training for, what you need help with. Use the hashtag Biogen Journey. You can also throw in hashtag Coach Parry as well in there for good measure. And we could be making you a winner. And today's comes from Mark McTaggart. He said, one last jog before the Maritzburg City Marathon on Sunday. Comrades qualifier time. Nerves are high. And that's from Mark. He posted that in the build-up to the Maritzburg Marathon. Mark, good news. We're going to help you on your journey to Comrades 2019. 3 months access to the Coach Parry online training club, plus access to Lindsay and the rest of our coaches. All of our training programs, I will be in touch. So yeah, congratulations. Thank you so much for posting that. I'm having a look at the graphic that you posted as well. It's hilarious, little baby. Classic. I absolutely love it. So, Mark, thanks for doing that, and congratulations on being a winner. Make sure you use the hashtag Biogen Journey on the socials, and we could be announcing you as the winner next week. And once again, just before I go, don't forget the Comrades Online Success Seminar brought to you by Bonitas, 25th of March, coachparry.com/webinar. If you'd like to register, absolutely free to attend, but you need to put your name down on the list so that we can make sure you come, okay? That's coachparry.com/webinar. Until next week, from myself, Brad Brown, it's cheers.